Just at a loss for words, actually. You know, 0-8 on national television. That should take us off every national televised game for us this season. You know, we haven't played good ball, and we get our butts kicked every game we play on national television. So, it's a loss for words.
As a group, collectively, did you guys try tonight?
We came in with a game plan. We didn't execute it.
Greetings, everybody, and welcome back for the first time in 2018 and the first time since November 21st, a new episode of Chris Klemm's Cavs Cast. I am Chris Klemm. I am your host, and the show is back. I've heard your complaints, seen your tweets, even got a couple old-fashioned emails, some texts, some things people said to me in person, and I hear you. I appreciate you. I understand. And it makes me very happy to know that there's actually people who are upset that I just disappeared and stopped doing the show, because that means you guys actually like listening. And I promise you, from this point on, I'm not going to say it's going to be every Tuesday and Friday from now into infinity. I'm not going to say I'm not going to miss an episode. I'm not going to say I'm not going to miss a month here or there. You know, things come up. I have a weird life and a weird schedule, and I don't know what's going to happen. You know, something big, something great could happen. I might have to go. The Cavs might burn up in a self-implosion, might be the first team to ever spontaneously human combust. Dan Gilbert might decide to start giving them all his personal bodybuilding supplements. They all test positive for PEDs. The whole team gets suspended, and we're forced to watch Jose Calderon, Chetty Osman, and John Holland, a bunch of other G League players, London Perantes, play for the rest of the season because they're the only guys that didn't take those supplements. You don't know what's going to happen. But one thing you do know is that the Cavs will continually and always be, at least under the ownership and stewardship of Dan Gilbert, but honestly, since pretty much the entirety of their inception, the Cavs will always be a mess. A mess behind the scenes for sure, not necessarily on the court. A little history lesson for those of you who don't understand how dysfunctional the franchise has been. When they started, Nick Meletti was the owner. I'm not saying anything disparaging about him. He seemed to be a great guy, but apparently he didn't actually have enough money to own an NBA team. I don't know if it was subterfuge, trickery, misleading investments, but he found a way to own the Cavs. They played in a horrible, outdated arena in downtown Cleveland, which apparently had rats running all over the place. Now, there is a book called Cavs from Fitch to Fratello. It's subtitled The Sometimes Miraculous, Often Hilarious Wild Ride of the Cleveland Cavaliers, and it's written by Bert Graff and Joe Menzer. It came out in 1994, but I'm telling you, if you want to know about the origins of the Cavs, some of the interesting things from the Miracle of Richfield days to their somewhat powerhouse teams, the team that Magic Johnson said would be the team of the 90s with Mark Price, Brad Doherty, and Larry Nance. If you want all kinds of interesting information about that, that is a book checking down. The Stoneman Roll Falls Public Library used to have it. I read it when I was in middle school or high school. It's a great book. But basically, from the jump, the Cavs have always been a dysfunctional organization. Nick Meletti kind of used them to get into a position where he'd actually have money without having money to own them. They were in a terrible arena, and they developed the Richfield Coliseum, you know, right between Cleveland and Akron. And that's where he started to make his money. Eventually, he sold the team, and they got Ted Stepien, who was such an inept owner that they actually developed a rule in the NBA, which is actually affecting the Cavaliers this season, the Ted Stepien rule, just the Stepien rule. There's a local site called StepienRules.com. Just a crazy guy. And that book has some really bizarre anecdotes about him. He once threw softballs off the top of the terminal tower to promote his softball team without realizing that the velocity of them and the speed coming off the top of the building, by the time they hit the ground, they're almost like bullets from the sky. Giant bullets, by the way, because softballs are pretty huge. The team has always been racked with dysfunction and all kinds of problems. Gordon Gunn seemed to be probably the most stable, non-meddling owner, but the team only reached mediocrity. They were stymied by Michael Jordan. And then later in the 90s, they were a playoff team, but they had all kinds of other issues. Then Dan Gilbert comes into town, And if you've read anything on Twitter, Will Burge tweeted that Dan Gilbert has told people close to him he wants to be known as the Jerry Jones of the NBA. Now, if that's something that you want your owner to aspire to, great. But it's pretty crazy. It's terrible. And it just shows what the Cavs are dealing with. The point is, they're in a horrible funk, okay? You want to look this up, go to basketballreference.com. The Cavs literally have two players on the entire roster that have a positive plus-minus for the entire season. Can you guess who they are? Weirdly, it's the two that were on the All-Star team this year, LeBron James and Kevin Love. But the bad news there is Kevin Love is injured, so he's gone, which means LeBron is the only Cavs player on the active roster who has a positive plus-minus for the entire season. And he might be the best basketball player in the history of basketball. So you can count on that throughout the rest of the year. But besides that, this roster is an absolute train wreck of mismatched pieces and parts that don't work together. The guys in third and fourth place who have less than a point negative are Kyle Korver and Channing Frye. This is per 48 minutes, I should say. And those guys aren't even being used to their best of their ability in the rotation. And the key there is they're also great shooters, which works with LeBron. Right now, the Cavs are playing a bunch of guys who can't shoot, can't defend, can't do anything with LeBron. And I get it. If I was him, I'd be pissed too. LeBron's not necessarily playing great defense or really trying. It's obvious. You watch that game. I went against my better judgment, and I actually watched that Houston Rockets Cavs game from Saturday night. I was going to avoid it. I told Stan the Man in the Bay Area, I said, I'm not watching this game. It's terrible. But I actually watched it today. And from the opening tip, it looked like the Cavs had someplace better to be. You're on national TV playing in front of ABC. People with antennas can pick it up. You know, it's everywhere. And instead of coming out there with fire and showing, look, Kevin Love might be out, we might be having problems with Isaiah Thomas, they just go out and look like, hey, they just met themselves. You know, they met their teammates for the first time. Like, it's a pickup game. They're just rolling it out, but they're going to play one of the most high-powered, well-coached offenses in the NBA. The Cavs can't make big improvements. They have a Brooklyn pick and their own first-round pick. They can only trade one of them due to the Stepien rule that I mentioned before. They have nobody on the roster of value. The only player who's any good besides LeBron is Kevin Love. He's hurt. Who else are they going to trade and get some for? Iman Shumpert, Jay Crowder, good luck. I don't see what they're getting back that's going to make a big change. You know, at this point, I actually would trade for George Hill because I finally think it's come down to the solution, the biggest solution to improving this team, and that's shipping off that disgruntled, overpaid, overhyped, underproducing little runt, Isaiah Thomas the Lesser. I've spent the better part of 2.5 seasons complaining about the hype he's gotten in Boston, explaining about how easy he was to stop. We can all look back in the playoffs and how the Cavs had a one-game plan to change from game to game, an adjustment to make. All they had to do was throw Iman Shumpert on him the first year. He did nothing. The second year, they schemed between each game, and the Cavs are not a good defensive team, shut him down, and then he's like, okay, now I'm hurt. I'm gone. And the team played better without him. Guess what? The same thing can happen again for the Cavs this year. Just bury him on the bench, or at least turn him into a six man just trying to score when he's out there. But the guy does not work with LeBron. He takes the ball away from LeBron when he's dribbling it. He takes opportunities away from him. When he was playing with Love, he was taking shots away from Kevin Love, who was shooting a much higher percentage, taking opportunities away for him to post up. When he's on the court now, he's looking off guys, and he's the worst defender in the NBA. It's not necessarily his fault. He's 5'6". But the point that I want to make crystal clear is that this team would be better off not playing him at all. But the problem there is, who else are there other options? Jose Calderon kind of worked because he could shoot. That's the thing. He was a dead body, but he tried on defense and at least made the right reads, and he could shoot. Derrick Rose is a different problem altogether, and he's not the solution. They need to find somebody that can shoot and at least fit and make the correct reads on the way the Cavs defensive system works. And right now, I don't see what they're going to get that's better than George Hill. But I do think that if you immediately plug anybody into that position besides Isaiah Thomas, the team's level will immediately improve. And it's clear there's a few bickering squads, few intra-team feuds going on just by reading the stuff that Jason Lloyd writes on The Athletic, that there's a lot of disgruntled factions. It's kind of like WWF 1998, and this is Gang Wars. I don't know who is necessarily DX or the Nation of Domination. I'm going to go with the Nation being LeBron, Dwayne Wade, those guys, and DX being maybe like Kevin Love and Channing Frye, because they seem like those kind of jokesters. And I'll just make the Boston Celtics guys DOA, because they sucked. The Disciples of Apocalypse, they were just the shitty jobbers of the team. And then everybody else can be Los Boricuas. The point is, they're feuding. They don't like each other. Something drastic needs to happen. But with all that stuff coming out, which I was saying earlier, I might have lost my point here because I'm going on a tangent I did not expect to go on. See, this is what happens when you podcast for the first time in 2 months. Things come up that you didn't necessarily mean to say, but now you're going to say them. Everything that's leaked out in stories from Sam Amick of USA Today, or what Will Burge put on his Twitter, or Dave McMenamin and Jason Lloyd and Joe Varden, the other beat reporters writing locally, is that Dan Gilbert has basically decided, you know, it's his team. LeBron's going to leave or he's not going to leave, but I'm not going to care. I'm keeping this Brooklyn pick. We're going to make an improvement next year. And if LeBron leaves, fine. Fuck him. It's my team. And that's about it. That's my way or the highway. And I kind of understand his perspective there. Because, look, if LeBron leaves, you're going to be shit out of luck. And you're not going to have any moves to make anyways that are really going to get you anywhere. But LeBron James, even if he leaves, got the Cavs a championship and is from Akron. That championship absolves whatever happens from him leaving the first time or if he leaves the second time. 10 years from now, he's still going to be a god in Northeast Ohio, and Dan Gilbert is going to be known as the guy who ran LeBron James out of town twice. That's what's going to be hanging over his head. So that's fine if he doesn't want to make a move, but he has to know that his reputation is forever tarnished by this happening. And considering how much he loves to use downtown Cleveland and his ownership of the Cavs as leverage for his other money-making casino greed schemes, he better think about that. Because on Thursday, that's it. The trade deadline comes and goes. This is the last chance for the Cavs team to come around. Honestly, despite all their flaws, I still think they're good enough to go to the finals. Yeah, nobody's beating Golden State. Can we be honest there? Nobody has a shot at even coming close. But the Cavs could beat Boston and Toronto. Not the Cavs that are playing right now, but the Cavs that ship out Isaiah Thomas for a bag of peanuts, bring back Kevin Love healthy. Yeah, they could do it. The point is, though, this team hates each other. What's coming out on the court is toxic. It's embarrassing to watch, and some drastic moves need to happen, and they need to happen fast. This Thursday is basically Dan Gilbert's judgment day, and when it's all said and done, I hope the Cavs roster's overhauled and they actually bring in somebody else who can have a positive plus-minus on this team besides LeBron James or the always injured when he makes an all-star team, Kevin Love. And if not, we're all going to be Sarah Connor up against the fence while we burn alive as a mushroom cloud goes on. Because this is it. Judgment day for Cavs fans. Judgment day for Dan Gilbert. The direction of the franchise for the next 10 years is up in the balance. Now, I will still have fun watching the Cavs of George Hill, Kevin Love, Chetty Osman, and whatever draft pick they get next year, and probably Tristan Thompson because nobody's going to take him. You know, compete for like the seventh seed in the Eastern Conference next year. I'm not going to have as much fun as watching LeBron try to play for a championship, but, you know, I'm a Cavs fan, not a LeBron fan. And it doesn't really matter what the name is on the back of the jersey. What matters is the name on the front of the jersey, and that's Cleveland. So this is a roundabout way of saying I'm all in. I'm all in no matter what. But I'd really like to be enjoying myself, because 4 years ago watching Dion Waiters and Kyrie Irving fight on the court on NBA League Pass, yeah, it was great when Kyrie hit a game winner against Toronto and me and my buddy Tim were there in the stadium. Yeah, that was a wonderful moment. But you know what was 100 times better moment? Every single game of the playoffs the last 3 seasons. Being in the arena when the Cavs beat the Atlanta Hawks to go to the finals for the first time in almost a decade. That was a great moment. Much better moment. The Cavs winning the championship, the first Cleveland sports championship of my lifetime. Greatest moment, one of the greatest non-personal moments of my life. I absolutely loved it. That entire week was amazing, and it happened the day before my birthday. So right now, in an attempt to get through to Dan Gilbert, we're all going to take a page out of my Catholic school education. We're going to say a quick prayer to St. Jude, who is the patron saint of lost causes. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Dear St. Jude, please intercede on behalf of Dan Gilbert and the entire Cavs organization. Make them complete a roster improving trade by this Thursday. Thank you, St. Jude. We know that it's hard to change the hearts of a stubborn, short, money grifting bodybuilder like Dan Gilbert. But if anybody can intercede and get God's attention on this case, it's you. Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. So that's it. I'm officially praying to St. Jude on my podcast in an attempt to get the Cavs to make a trade on Thursday. I have no idea what would be considered a more desperate cause than that. I mean, besides actual tragedy and bad things that happen to people and the fact that our nation's in disarray and we might be on the verge of a nuclear holocaust and all those other things. But in terms of sports, let's go with this. This episode today has been a little bit longer than normal because it's been so long since I actually podcasted, and I'll have a lot to say on Thursday after the trade deadline has come and gone. I'm working on a local radio sketch show with former guest Chad Weaver out here in Chicago. It's his show. It's not my show. I'm just helping him by doing voices and trying to write sketches here and there, but it's mostly his idea, like the name Thank You, I'm Sorry. I'm not apologizing for anything, so that's clearly not the name I came up with. But it's good. We've done one episode. We're working on a second one. And this is a sketch that he and I wrote that is about the Cleveland Cavaliers. I'm going to play for you guys right now. I hope you enjoy it, and maybe it can distract us all from the abysmal nature of the Cavs season at this point in time. Thank you.
We reset here in the second quarter with the Cavaliers leading the Bulls 32-24 with 4:36 left till the half. Boy, that Lauri Markkanen sure looks good so far with 12 on 75% from deep.
You're right, Mike. Lauri Stroke looks as good as partner here did back in his prime. Right, buddy?
Well, Fred, they didn't have three-point shots back in my day, but I knew how to stroke it.
Easy, partner!
LeBron brings it up the court, running the offense. You know, if the Cavs down Isaiah Thomas, LeBron's been playing time at the one spot.
He's been Johnny on the spot for these guys, really putting an imprint on the game.
Passes to Kevin Love in the post.
Love scores on Portis with the jump hook, and Love is in the air in Cleveland tonight!
Couldn't be more right about that, partner.
Chicago looking to respond.
It's hard to come up with a good response to Love.
Kay Felder drives in, nowhere to go, passes out to Markkanen.
Yes, he's a bear in the post.
He shoots.
Oh, the player?
Markkanen's shot rims out. Cleveland secures the rebound.
He's not the bear in the broadcast booth, though, partner.
I thought I was the one with the odd references.
LeBron brings it up again, running point, setting up the play.
Partner, your mouth knows a lot more than references.
LeBron holding onto the ball, calls for a screen from Thompson.
You know, staring into my partner's eyes, I'm afraid we'll get charged with the holding violation.
LeBron gets the screen, drives in, kicks it out to Smith in the corner, he shoots.
It's important to follow the rules. If I put my hand on you, Fred, I have one, two, three seconds before I have to get off.
Misses.
Partner.
The rebound goes all the way back to the three-point line.
There's only one person that can get me off.
Chicago gets the rebound and goes on a fast break. Felder pulls up for a long two.
Whoa, partner.
The shot clangs off the rim, but Chicago secures the rebound. Love forgot to box out there.
Partner, the key to a successful box out is to use your backside and really give it to him. Sit on his legs so he can't get out.
Portis passes out. Chicago resets.
I guess that's why I can never box you out, huh, partner?
Lots of passing from Chicago tonight, looking for the wide-open man.
Partner, you can try to box me out, but I'm going to drive and finish at your hole every time.
Passes to Zipser for the corner three, and it's in.
Come here, you.
Chicago has hit 60% of their threes so far tonight, and they're on a hot streak as Cleveland calls a timeout. For more on Cleveland's defensive issues, we go to our sideline reporter, Tracy.
Thanks, Mike. You know, Cleveland has had trouble guarding the perimeter all season, and some have speculated that's due to a lack of personnel for the Cavs. Coach Ty Lue says it's a lack of energy on the defensive end. Certainly doesn't help the team's energy when every three-pointer the opposing team makes saps the energy of the crowd. However, while the crowd has been subdued, right now they seem to be picking up their interest in what's happening on the sideline. Back to you, Mike.
Thanks, Tracy, and yes, the crowd has noticed my colleagues here in the broadcast booth making out with an energy that, frankly, the Cavs have lacked all night. While the action is paused on the court, it's going strong here in the booth. so we'll continue bringing it rather than going to commercial break. Okay, my broadcast partners at Fred and AC are really going at it right now. I'm seeing a lot of tongue and some fierce gripping. AC just drove in for a grope on Fred's butt.
Partner, how long can I keep my hand on your hiney till I get a 3-second violation?
Some jawing between the two now.
There's no referees on this court, partner.
Crowd really getting into it now. Fred has his hand on AC's cheek, lovingly. Tracy, an update.
Yes, Mike. Even the players on the court have left their huddles and are watching Fred and AC go at it. How will this affect...
Sorry to interrupt you, Tracy, but Fred has moved his hand down AC's neck. Now to his chest. Could he be? Yes. Yes, he is. It looks like Fred is going coast to coast, moving his hand down to AC's waist. He's fumbling with the belt. The atmosphere is electric. It's unhooked. And Fred drives. And yes, Fred has done it. Fred has reached his hand down AC's pants and the crowd here has gone wild. They are loving it here in Quicken Loans Arena. Even the players are cheering. The security has stopped trying to hold back the crowd and they are rushing the court in celebration of Fred and AC going all the way to third base. Somehow a police cruiser has made its way into the stands and the audience has flipped it. Absolute mayhem here in Cleveland. They are carrying Fred and AC on their shoulders out. And my producers here are telling you we have to go to commercial now. We'll give you an update after the break.
Hey, Cavs fans, it's me, commentator Fred McLeod. When I get hungry, I don't go to any of those other fast food chains. I go to Arby's. So be like me and choose Arby's.
Now that's what I call a slam dunk.
Well, if you enjoyed that, you can listen to the entire episode at soundcloud.com/thankyouimsorry and check it out. The rest of the cast on that show includes Chad, former Northeast Ohio comic Jensen Strzok, Zach Boyce, and Jake Wells, and produced by the talented Lane Gerbig. So check that out if you want, and I will be back on Friday to recap the Cavs trade deadline, and let's all cross our fingers, hope St. Jude pulls through, and we end up with George Hill and DeAndre Jordan and a Cavs team that's actually watchable. Talk to you then. Thank you. If you're listening to this episode at this point still, thank you, thank you, thank you so much. I'm sorry I was away for so long. Thank you so much for listening. I will talk to you guys Friday, and I just want you to know I'm back. I'm better than ever. I got a knack for making things better. And face the facts, because your opinion doesn't matter, and this maniac is going to step on whoever. Talk to you Friday. Go Cavs. Chris Clem's Cavs Cast is brought to you by Chris Clem. The Cleveland Cavaliers do not support, endorse, or in any way approve of this podcast. If you'd like to get a hold of us, our phone number is 330-822-2296. Or you can email me at c4podcast@chrisclem.net. Thanks for listening.
Been a Lousy Weather Media Network production. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.com.